What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, youngest in charge movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. And it's take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Always love Friday nights in the fall. A lot of people out right now picking outfits out. What you gonna wear? Emmanuel Forbes is probably booking his section on U Street. I'm joking. Jam-packed Overtime for you here tonight as we take you up to 10 o'clock. And obviously, a lot of our attention going to be focused on Sunday's massive contest between the Washington Commanders and the Cleveland Browns. Before we get to that, what a start to week number 5 in the National Football League. Absolute bedlam last night from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Hotlanta. Our Cutting Kirk, woof, Taki hot in his biz egg at the quarterback position. Kirk Cousins leading the Falcons to a big-time win over the Saints, pushes their record to 3-2, now atop the NFC South. And Kirk Cousins, as I mentioned, with a flair for the dramatics. Remember the narrative, right, that Kirk Cousins began to build while he was here in Washington. It's, oh, Kirk can't win the big game. Oh, Kirk doesn't shine bright when the lights are the brightest. Last night, that was not the case. Kirk Cousins willing the Atlanta Falcons to a victory in this game on a night in which Matt Ryan, Matty Ice himself, was inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor. Kirk Cousins decides to put on the best performance of his NFL career to this point. 42 of 58, 509 yards passing, and 4 touchdowns. Atlanta, honestly, a team right now that I cannot figure out all the way. We'll bring you another installment of the most highly anticipated power ranking segment at all of sports talk radio. No Super Six Pack a little bit later on in the program. We will see if Atlanta was good enough to make the honorable mention, which we call fly enough, but still can't get in the club. Or were they good enough to even crack the top 6 list? It's coming up later. Here on Overtime, but a big week 5 coming up. Got off to a tremendous start last night. We're starting to get to that time in the year, right? It's week 5. Month of tape out on folks. We're going to begin to find out slowly but surely who are the contenders and who are the pretenders in the National Football League. Got Jets and Vikings across the pond over in London. Cowboys and Steelers on Sunday Night Football. We got the Stephon Diggs revenge game, Bills and Texans. So a massive, massive slate going into this weekend. And as I mentioned, Washington, once again, with another opportunity to show the rest of the National Football League world that they are indeed for real. High stakes game against Cleveland at home. Found out some really good injury news earlier today. Running back Austin Eckler, who missed last week's contest after suffering the concussion against Cincinnati. He was given a clean bill of health and is good to go, being cleared from that concussion. We did find out Cleveland Farrell and Noah Brown going to miss this week's contest. For Farrell, it's his 3rd straight miss as he's nursing a knee injury. Noah Brown, I'll be honest with you, not sure why he was on the injury report. Not sure what the injury is. Not sure how long it ultimately keeps Noah Brown out, but he's out for this weekend. So if you're out there and you're on the FanDuel app or you're on DraftKings or you're using whatever you use, Noah Brown's a guy that's gotten some targets here over the past couple of weeks. Do we see an increased role for a guy like Christian McCaffrey or De'Ami Brown or Olamide Zaccheaus, for that matter, who's done nothing but capitalize on each of his opportunities? So the injury situation at wide receiver is going to be something to monitor going into Sunday. One other injury note for the Burgundy and Golden. This honestly makes me a little bit nervous. Running back Brian Robinson, fresh off of a big-time performance last weekend against Arizona, going to be officially listed as a game-time decision. Hasn't practiced the last 2 days. He's nursing a knee injury. I will say this about B-Rob. Younger guy. We even say he's part of the Youngest in Charge movement. Put out a thumbs up tweet once he realized that people were starting to get a little worried about his availability. So I think B-Rob is going to be ready to go for a high-stakes affair against the Cleveland Browns. But feels like he's trending in the right direction. I don't want to underscore this. I don't want to overstate this. I don't want to hyperbolize it by any stretch. But to me, Sunday is a really big spot for the Commanders. For obvious reasons. Second game at home. You're riding the win streak. You're off to your best start since 2011. And you're trying to keep it going against a desperate Browns team coming off two bad losses in a row. They're banged up along the offensive line. They haven't scored 20 points all year, talking about Cleveland. Even in their one win against Jacksonville, they didn't muster 20 points. So I'm looking at this game from a couple of different angles. One, and I can't believe I'm saying this, for a Commanders team here in the first quarter of the season, does Sunday not have trap game written all over it? I mean, it feels like, and it's almost like taking my confidence away from the group. And it's not fair to them. This is a new regime. I get on you all the time for having your SLS, scoring lover syndrome. This is the 2024 Washington Commanders. Not the Ron Rivera-led Commanders. Not Jay Gruden-led Commanders. Not Mike Shanahan-led Commanders. This is different. This is different, but it feels like for most of my young adult life, whenever the Washington Commanders have any glimmer of prosperity, that's the air coming out of the balloon. I mean, it happens like clockwork. I can give you, you go back and look at some of the biggest wins Washington's had here over the past 10, 15 years, and you look at the next week. Can Washington handle the prosperity? It's a young football team. You've got your veterans sprinkled in, Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz. But for the most part, this is a young football team. Can they handle the prosperity? Especially in this spot against a Browns team that said what you want. We can make fun of Deshaun Watson and the allegations. We can make fun of the Browns for giving out the contract. That's a talented football team that won 10 games last year with musical chairs going on at the damn quarterback position. Yes, their defense has taken a little bit of a step back. Yes, they are not wreaking the same havoc they were a year ago, but the talent's still there. The talent's still there. And they've got what I've dubbed one of those one percenters. Myles Garrett, game wrecker, the best bona fide defensive player in football. Not even close. Not even close. Can Washington handle the prosperity? You all out there are going to have a massive, massive role in Sunday's game. Because everything that you hear is that Arizona this past weekend was a Commanders home game as well. You all traveled. Well, now you don't have to fly halfway across the country. They're back at home at Northwest Stadium on the brink of getting me to go buck wild. I'll tell you now. They're on the brink of getting me to start saying some reckless stuff. And when I say reckless, it's obviously not actually reckless. I got a feeling. I really do. And I wrestle with this each and every day. Because let's make no mistake about it. You all live the same life I live. If you are a fan of this team, if you have been along for this ride, you are an absolute sicko, just like I am. So you wake up. And one of the first things you do is check the X app. You scroll up and down. You can't turn on the TV. You can't go in the grocery store. I'm seeing the W everywhere. There is a changing of the guard about to happen here locally. And everyone else across the country, they smell it. It's like when you know it's about to rain outside. And you get that weird smell in the air. And you're like, oh, it's about to rain. Right now, it feels like everyone in the sports landscape, from the national media perspective, feels what is brewing here in Washington. got a quarterback again. New ownership. Most highly sought after talent evaluator in the business. You scooped him up. It feels like everything's trending in the right direction. That's why, to me, at 3-1, Sunday is such a big opportunity. Because you get to show the world, hey, this is real. Hey, this is something you can get behind. And I don't want to play that dangerous game. I hope they're not playing this game, talking about the Commanders. I don't want to play this game of looking ahead to Baltimore, but good God almighty, I'm already lining up guests for next week in anticipation of a big-time win. Could you imagine what next week is going to be like, the build-up to a massive showdown between you and Baltimore, a game in which you probably go into it with a better record than the Baltimore Ravens? Because you win this weekend, you're 4-1. You handle your business this weekend, you go into next week's game against the Baltimore Ravens' big brother over the past 20-plus years, you go into that game with a better record. If I would have told you that in August, you all would have emailed CK and he would have had me drug tested expeditiously. But we're here. That's the reality of the situation right now. That's why this is so different to me. It just is. It just is. There is a level of excitement buzzing around this organization, buzzing around this tri-state area that I honestly have never felt before. And people continue to reference Robert Griffin III in 2012 and how powerful that time period was. I remember the 60-yard Vikings run and how electric FedEx was. I remember the season finale when Robert's on one leg as we limp our way to the NFC East Championship. Those moments were great. This feels different. And maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment and I'm just geeked up because we're here right now. And that's okay. You should be too. I'm telling you. We said it all summer. It was weird. It felt like there was like a lack of buzz for this group. Late summer, first couple of games of the preseason, the interest didn't feel like it was there. But when you come out of the first quarter of the year, 3-1, you've got everyone's attention here locally, and you've got everyone's attention nationally. You do. You just do. They're at a point right now where, let's just be open about what happened last Sunday. Teams in the National Football League don't win 42-14. That margin of victory is uncommon in the NFL. That's a 28-point win. A 4-touchdown victory. Doesn't happen in the NFL week to week. The teams are too good. There's too much parity. Andrew Wiley, somebody that played for the Kansas City Chiefs the past 5 years. Our guy Sam Fortier from the Post asked Wiley, hey, you were in Kansas City, right? How many times did you win as big as you won on Sunday? And he said, not very much. About 3-4 times. This is unique. This is different. What's happening right now. And hopefully they have the mental fortitude to not read their own press clippings, to not think that they're flawless, not to buy into the hype, and keep that head down grinders mentality. And I think they will. You know why? This is what goes back to what I was saying in the summer. They have the right mix of people within this building. They do. I will say it till I'm blue in the face. And it starts with that damn quarterback. It starts with the damn quarterback. This past week, out in Tempe, Arizona, Josh Harris and the Josh Harris group making the investment to send Washington to Arizona right after the Cincy trip. They didn't come back home. That changes, guys. Routines get different. You're sleeping in a different bed. It's tough. Didn't change the quarterback at all. Cliff Kingsbury and the offensive staff with their makeshift coach's office, 5:30 a.m. sharp to start the work week. Who's at Cliff Kingsbury's desk? Jaden Daniels. That stuff is contagious. They've got the right leader that has the right mental makeup, the right mental fabric to usher this thing in the right direction. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm not even guaranteeing they'll make the playoffs this year. But what's happening now this three-game winning streak that we're in the midst of, we could look back at this time period and say that is when things changed for the Washington football franchise. Because it takes confidence being built. You win this Sunday. Theoretically, you should win. Let's just call a spade. Theoretically, you should win. Cleveland's coming off two bad losses. They're banged up front. They've been inept offensively, you know, mostly due to the lack of health with the offensive line. Defensively, they've taken a massive step back after being arguably the best unit in the NFL last year. Washington theoretically should win this football game, setting up for a huge weekend, next weekend in Baltimore, but you got to get this one first. It'd be a tone-setting type of win, in my opinion. It would be massive in terms of what's happening right now, continuing to get this fan base back and behind this football team. Then from a confidence standpoint, the guys in that locker room, you win four in a row. You don't have an L next to your name 4 weeks in a row. You start to smell yourself a little bit. You start to lift a little bit more. You get to realize that hey, the extra work I'm putting in is paying off. It encourages guys to continue to go the extra mile. That is how you build a sustained winning culture. See, when you get off to a hot start and you're a new regime, and you're a new empire trying to prove yourself to this locker room full of grown-ass men that don't know you from a can of paint when they first see you, when you get off to a winning start like this, it plants those seeds. It sets that foundation for what the expectation now is moving forward. You keep stacking wins. You keep building good habits. There is a sense of belief that enters your locker room, and it becomes contagious. And right now, Washington feels like they are on the cusp of that. I'm expecting a raucous crowd Sunday. I'm expecting one of the best home field advantages in the NFL over this weekend on Sunday. What fan base should be more alive right now than Washington's? What fan base should be feeling a renewed sense of optimism more than Washington's? None. This is the best story in the National Football League right now. It is. From all parties involved, Dan Quinn's reclamation story, his second act as a head coach, Cliff Kingsbury proving all the narratives wrong about him and his first act as an NFL offensive coordinator, Zach Ertz, Austin Eckler, veterans that were left to die by the NFL world. Let's call it what it is. There's a reason Austin Eckler's here in Washington. There's a reason Zach Ertz is here in Washington. Because the NFL world didn't believe they were worth what they were asking for. Point blank. And now they're here. Everyone's got that mentality of being looked over, being slighted. And when you bring all that energy together, Frankie Louvu, Carolina looked him in the face and said, damn your, you know, 300+ tackle seasons. You're out of here. We don't need you. Jeremy Chinn, they told him straight up, you can't stay healthy. We don't want you. And they brought all that energy here to Washington. And what you're seeing on a week-in, week-out basis is a group that, one, is bonded with each other and loves the hell out of each other. You can tell by the way they play. And then, two, they're getting their swagger back. I called out Jeremy Chinn the first 2 weeks. I called out Bobby Wagner the first 2 weeks. They weren't playing well. Jeremy Chinn has played like a bat out of hell the last 2 weekends, arriving violently, playing the brand of football that Joe Witt Jr. continues to go up to the podium and preach. They're starting to walk the walk rather than just talking the talk, which makes Sunday such a massive opportunity, because if you win Sunday, I promise you, the conversation from here on out changes completely. Just getting rolling here on a Friday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped into the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, you can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. Phone lines wide open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back a little bit later on in the program, about David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. When we come back, though, let's get right into it. The keys to victory for the Washington Commanders against the Cleveland Browns. That comes up next here on The Fan.
Identity is going to take a while. As we're in four games, we're starting to grow into that. And I like, you know, that it's – I knew it was going to take time. It's not something that's done overnight, but it has to be done again and again. And so it's growing, and it's not where we're going to be. And I, you know, would hope 2 months from now we can look back to say, yeah, it's grown significantly since then. But I like the toughness, the attitude that the guys are showing for sure.
Commanders head coach Dan Quinn addressing the media earlier today as Washington gears up for a big-time showdown Sunday afternoon at home at the newly named Northwest Stadium, playing host to Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. The opportunity to go to 4-1 for the first time in a long time for the Burgundy and Gold. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. We'll take your calls on the keys to a Commander's victory coming up here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Washington, as we've talked about all show long, has a massive opportunity on Sunday to continue to show that you are not only for real or not only trending in the right direction, but are for real. Cleveland's a desperate team. I know what the numbers say. Their offense is abysmal. Haven't cracked 20 points yet this year. Any given Sunday, anybody can go out and win or lose in the National Football League. So the hope is this young Washington team, sprinkled with a few veterans, I hope that between the vets and this player-led coaching staff, I hope that they have the mental fortitude to not fall victim to the proverbial trap game. Because that's what Sunday feels like. That is what Sunday feels like. Cleveland's lost back-to-back games against horrendous football teams. Their offense doesn't look good. They're banged up up front along their offensive line. Washington not only has an opportunity to come out and just win, they can make a statement in back-to-back weeks. I said it in the opening segment. They walked the Arizona Cardinals up and down that field on Sunday. You don't see many 28-point wins in the National Football League. Washington at home this time around, another big opportunity. Keys to victory against Cleveland. First and foremost to me, and I've said this ad nauseum, from every level of football, middle school, high school, college, NFL, you must stop the run defensively. That it has to be what your priority is on that side of the football. Washington's got to do that. Not only do they got to stop the run, but it's about making Cleveland one-dimensional. This offense is bad. Their offensive line is banged up. Deshaun Watson's the most pressured quarterback in the National Football League. They simply cannot function offensively without balance because of how beat up they are up front. So if Washington can finally have the guys up front show up, John Allen, Deron Payne, the rest of the party, they play well on Sunday in Arizona. This is a different group. Because say what you want about what happened on Sunday. I've said it all week long. Drew Petsing deserves the Dumb Dumb of the Week award in terms of offensive coordinators. Arizona on Sunday ran the ball for 5.7 yards a pop, yet Drew Petsing took his foot off of the gas and stopped running the football. I guarantee you this, an offense that's struggling to find life like Cleveland's, let them have early success in the running game. And you see if Kevin Stefanski doesn't keep smashing the X button to run the football. Arizona Sunday, 32 carries, 181, 5.7 yards a pop. Yet they stopped running the football. Some can blame the score. I think it's a mentality. Cleveland, a team that has been abysmal offensively, hadn't cracked 20 points yet. If they get the confidence in their running game, I guarantee you Stefanski keeps running it, and that opens up everything for that group offensively. They want to run the football, but they've struggled. 26th in rushing yards per game. Well, conversely, Washington, 31st in rush yards per attempt allowed. So it's the rubber's got to meet the road somewhere here on Sunday. Either Cleveland's going to figure out how to run the ball, or Washington's finally going to stop the run. Whichever one of those things happens, to me, big impact on who wins and who loses. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. keys to a victory against the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday. I gave you my first key. We'll go to the phones for our second one. Dave is out in Woodbridge. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, man, how you been? I'll talk to you in a minute.
I've been good, brother. Appreciate you, man. Good to hear from you, Dave.
Hey, good to be on with you. So this game scares the heck out of me. This is the game that we lose every time over the past 30 years. I'm definitely worried. Do I think we should win? Yes. Running, like you said, that's key. But I'm jumping the gun a little. Look, I love JD. He's the man, the dude. Arm
for sure.
Pass first, then run. I'm very happy. The line, offensive line. I was really worried. And look, coaching matters, right?
For sure.
So I'm happy. But I'm going to jump the gun. Say we win this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's talking about Adams.
Yes.
I don't want Adams. But I wanted to ask you, is that the point where we start feeling around trying to take somebody's cornerback from one of these teams that's like 1-5 or, you know,
Dave,
they're starting to fall
to me,
off?
If you beat, and this, I know we're looking ahead, if they handle their business against Baltimore next weekend, you can bet your ass. You know who I'm on the phone with, Dave? I'm calling the Miami Dolphins. I want Jalen Ramsey. Their season's about to go in the toilet.
That's who I was going
to
say.
Their season's about to go in the dump.
Great minds think alike.
Yes, they do, Dave. Their season's about to go in the dumps. Especially if they lose again this weekend. I believe they're 1-4. How many teams come back from that? You can maybe potentially see a fire sale in Miami.
I that's what I want.
I'd love it.
You know, everybody says – so, you know, I love the owner, but to me still the biggest move was the GM.
Yes, for sure.
We got our new Bobby Bethard, I'm hoping. You know, there's no Joe Gibbs if there's no Bobby Bethard.
Yes, indeed.
But I just don't – you know, if we get this other win, if they beat Baltimore next week.
I'll say this, Dave, and I appreciate the call. Even if they beat Cleveland this week, imagine how excitable next week's going to be. Imagine what the conversation is going to be. It will be the game of the week next week if Washington – can handle their business against the Cleveland Browns. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What are the keys for Washington getting a 4-1 against Cleveland? I told you my first one. Stop the run, make Cleveland one-dimensional. My second one, you've got to protect Jayden Daniels. And I know Washington's offensive line, Cliff Kingsbury, Jayden himself, have done a really nice job working in tandem, making that a reality. Jayden Daniels, in terms of average time to throw, a top five in the National Football League. He's getting it out on time. Cliff Kingsbury doing a beautiful job working him, or easing him rather, into these football games via the quick game, the running game, the screen game. You got to continue that against a ferocious Browns defensive front, because if they get you to where, one, you're one-dimensional, and that to me is the other part of this, Washington's got to continue the formula offensively. Stay ahead of the chains by hook or by crook. Whether it's from running the football, whether it's the screen game, whether it's the quick game, you have to stay ahead of the chains. Because although this Browns defense has taken a little bit of a step back, they still have that one percenter that I keep talking about in Myles Garrett, and it's not just him. It's Za'Darius Smith on the other side. It's Dalvin Tomlinson in the middle. It's Shelby Harris. Coming into this one, Cleveland's blitzed the 8th most times in the National Football League. That is what they do. They want to heat you up. They're 5th in the NFL in QB pressures. They're tied for 7th in the NFL in sacks. So they can get after you, right? This is the best defense you have played since week one against Tampa. Offensively, how do you respond? To me, it starts with staying ahead of the chains and protecting Jayden Daniels. You cannot let Myles Garrett and their defensive front ruin this football game. You can't. You can't. Now, the beautiful thing is, right, with Washington, mention staying ahead of the chains, continuing that formula that they've adopted here over the first month plus of the season. What have we called it? What have I called it? Put it on a T-shirt, bumper stickers, whatever you want to do. Exotic smash-mouth football. That's what it's been. Last weekend, on the road, in hostile territory against Arizona, they put their foot up the Arizona Cardinals' ass. 37 carries, 216 yards. 4 touchdowns, 5.8 yards a pop. It was one of those games where you take your opponent out to the woodshed. They whipped up on the Arizona Cardinals. They took the manhood away from the Arizona Cardinals. That is what they want to do week in and week out. I said by hook or by crook, Because, yeah, the running game's been going well. But Cleveland may be a front that you can't get the movement that you want in the running game. One, does Cliff Kingsbury have the patience to stick with it when it's not working? And then two, can the guys on the perimeter, your tight ends, your wide receivers, can they continue to block downfield to allow other guys to make big explosive plays? That's the big thing here. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Keys to victory for the Washington Commanders coming up Sunday as they try to move to 4-1 against the Cleveland Browns. Let's go to Luke in Waldorf. What's going on, Luke?
What's up, man? Thanks for my call.
Yes, sir.
Man, I am so excited. You have no idea. My daughter is 18 years old.
Okay.
Every week she's been asking me, why do I keep watching this team? And now here we are. And you started out the show asking, should we be excited? Yes. And I get it. You know, it's been a lot of talk about the name and all that. And it's a bold name, Commanders, because we didn't have nobody that would rise up and take command. Well, now we do, and here we are. The keys to this game is going to be time of possession.
Yeah.
The offense have got to dominate the ball. They've got to keep the defense is compromised, so we got to keep them fresh and keep them off the field and dominate this game like we did last week. And I'm telling every fan in this city, you have a right to be excited. Go to the game. Sell this game out. Take command and raise hell. Let's go.
Come on, Luke. Luke bringing it here on a Friday night here on Overtime. 1-800-636-1067. AP is in Laurel. Want to tap in, AP? What's going on?
Linnell Willingham.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, man. First things first. I hope. Did you find your keys yet?
Right here.
Hello.
We got. I'm trying to jingle them for you. They're right here. Do you hear that?
My man back in the game.
Come on, man. I'm back outside.
Hey. Tell Mom Dukes, it'll never happen again. but look. but nah, man. Real talk. I feel like this game right here is, you know, it's definitely one of those old-fashioned trap games. You know, all the media is talking about us.
Yep.
And, you know, let us fans, let us local media tent, you know, personnel, let us rant and rave. Let us do what we do as fans. You know, let us have our moment. But as far as the players, the coaches and everything, they got to stay focused. They got to stay level-headed. And you know, most importantly, they got to be hungry, man. Because, again, as I told Doc the other night, we haven't done nothing. We haven't accomplished anything. Yes, it seems like we're going in the right direction and, you know, we're doing the, you know, what we need to do, but at the same time, we haven't done nothing. We still have yet to equal the amount of wins that we won last year, which is 4.
For sure.
So let's do that. Let's stay focused. Let's stay humble, and let's be hungry. Like let's bring our lunch pail to work, and let's go to work, and let's play complimentary football.
Let's do it.
That's all I got. I know you got a lot of calls, brother.
Sunday should be a movie. As the folks in the youngest in charge like to say, 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls on the keys to victory for the Washington Commanders. I'll give you a stat about Brian Robinson that may make your jaw drop next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Massive showdown coming up Sunday afternoon from Northwest Stadium. Commanders and Browns, Washington, looking to move to 4-1 for the first time in a long time. They'll do it against a Browns team that I continue to describe as desperate. Kevin Stefanski and company overcame a litany of obstacles last year to punch their ticket to the playoffs. Musical chairs at the quarterback position. They're off to a slow start this year. Their defense, which we're talking about right now, has taken a little bit of a step back. But if you're just joining us before the break, I told you, man, we're giving keys to victory. One, you got to stop the run, make Cleveland one-dimensional. And then two, protecting Jayden Daniels and staying ahead of the chains, to me, is the next most important key. Cleveland's going to get you. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at you. Jim Schwartz is an aggressive defensive coordinator. 8th most blitzes in the National Football League. Tied for 7th in sacks. 5th in QB pressures. I compare this Cleveland defense most closely to the Bucs and who you faced in week one, and we saw how the pressure impacted Washington in that football game. I mentioned balance and staying ahead of the chains. Brian Robinson coming into this one in a situation where he's a game-time decision. Most expect him to play as he's dealing with a knee injury. But Brian Robinson's had a hell of a start to the year. If you listen to me at all during the summer, one of my bold predictions for this year is that he would rush for 1,000 yards for the first time in his career and make the Pro Bowl. He's off to that type of start. Brian Robinson, second in the NFL amongst running backs in yards after contact per carry. He'll face the Cleveland defense that's 29th in the NFL in terms of yards after contact allowed. So a good matchup for Washington's offensive line. But as I mentioned, they got some household names on that Cleveland defensive line. If Washington's going to win this, they got to stay ahead of the chains. I think that starts with running the football, and it also helps you keep Jayden Daniels upright. The Browns defense, like I mentioned, though, has taken a little bit of a step back. I gave you some of the numbers rushing the quarterback. Browns 20th in rushing yards per game allowed, and they've given up, this is the crazy stat to me, they've given up the sixth most runs of 10-plus yards. So another opportunity for you to continue to what? Say it with me. Exotic smash mouth football. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Your keys to victory for the Washington Commanders to move to 4-1 Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Vic is in Akakik. Wants to tap him. What's going on, Vic?
Man, what's up, baby?
What's going on, my brother?
I'm all right. So, what you were just talking about, I believe stopping the run, stopping the Browns' run game, poked the sand out of their ship, and they will not. It will deflate any confidence or any belief in them feeling like they still have an opportunity, that they have an opportunity to win the game. What I'm really focusing on this week is our ability to control gaps. You talk about exotic smash mouth football. That's how I know you play the game. Exotic blocking schemes, it still allows you to be able to run the ball in front of that people and dominate people up front. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what teams have been doing to us. And with intelligence and controlling gaps, I've always said this to my D lineman when I was coaching. Listen, just because he pulls on me, we got to go follow him down. That's 1975 football.
For sure.
We don't have to do that. And just because he blocks down, then that doesn't mean we have to line and move over. Be stout, because the gap you want to control is the gap that they're trying to ear hole you out of. Stay right there. And I would tell him all the time, if we stay in our gaps, no matter what they do, they're going to be befuddled and saying, what the heck? Why are they not reacting to what we're doing up front? Because we don't have to. Why do we have to move to your pull? Why do we have to move to your whip block? Why would we have to move to your wham? We have a gap to control. That's what we're going to do.
Yep.
If our linebackers set the edge, or our defensive ends set the edge, if our linebackers, when they're the last man on the line, set the edge, if our linebackers read keys when we get two down blocks, when we get climbing to the second level so they don't get to the second level and get to our backers, we can stifle their run game. The reason why I'm harping on this is because This is the things that high school football coaches are repeating on Monday morning in film session, Monday afternoon in film session after school. So we shouldn't keep saying this stuff if Joe Witt is saying he's getting angry. That's my point. And I'll leave with this.
Yeah.
So there was a play where we were up and they scored. They got 14. Sanders Steele. I hope I'm saying his name right. He was playing the safety, but he was in the hole. He was a linebacker depth. The tight end was tight in a typical, a traditional tight end look. He gives a vertical right up the seam. So you could tell that Sanders Steele is a flat player, but he's crossing his face. So when he's coming the curl to the flat, he's got to at least pay attention to it. But he gets out of his zone quickly. The slot, the number two. His eyes never got to number two. And the guy caught the ball right beside him. If he puts his eyes to Kyler Murray, if the outside eye on number two Kyler Murray will have to pump that ball like he did. Well, I forget the, when Torrance got the sack, when he had to pump that ball on 4th-and-1. And that's either another sack or a potential turnover. That's the little things that I'm talking about. And what baffles me, these guys are faster, bigger, stronger than high school football players. So I'm not understanding if Joe, if you're saying, I'm not trying to go on Joe, but I'm pointing out what he keeps talking about. If you're saying you're angry, is this stuff not being corrected?
Well,
and these are mistakes that 17-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old Bulls make.
That's the thing about football, though, Vic, and I appreciate the call. Look, this, you'll see the same mistakes in high school that you see in college, that you see in the pros. It's when it comes to gap control, man, the one thing that I always attribute guys hopping out of their gap to is everybody wants to make the play. Everybody wants to make the play. Everybody wants to be the hero. High school, especially, everybody wants to hear their name called over the loud screen. Willingham on the tackle. Loss of 2. You live for those moments, so you'll jump out of your gap when you're not supposed to because you want to make the tackle and want to make the play. I see that ad nauseum on Washington's defense. Vic mentioned Joe Witt Jr. Yeah, I'm at a point with him too. They can't stop the run to save their life, and nothing's changed. How long will that last? Is it going to take you losing a game because you can't stop the run to have some type of significant changes? Tyler's in Fredericksburg. What's going on, Ty?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, bro?
I'm kind of like on the fence with what the previous caller was talking about, man. Joe Witt, I can't figure out if he knows what he's looking at on the field. And I know he had a nice little record with the Cowboys and helped them, you know, beef up the secondary and turn Trayvon Diggs into an All-American corner, yada yada yada. But anytime I watch defense, man, it's just like when he sends a blitz, they're running the ball. And then when we stay at home, they're breaking off for a big gash yard. It's just like I don't know if he's getting the wrong calls by the guys down the field, like, you know, hey man, you know, it looks like they're getting ready to pass. And so we stay home and then, you know, 30-yard completion down the field, or, you know, all right, now we're gonna set up a blitz, you know, this is clearly play action. And it's a run up the A gap for, you know, a 40-yard gain. I don't know what kind of confusion is going on. And
yeah,
what I really want to know is what kind of defense is he setting up to where, I mean we got, you know, a first ballot Hall of Famer in Bobby Wagner. Is this defense set up to where he's not allowing Bobby to make any sort of adjustments? Or does Bobby have some sort of leniency of, hey, like, look, man, like, if I'm not seeing something up here in the booth, like, please make an adjustment. I mean, London was famous for that. And you know, if you go back to the football life of London Fletcher and, you know, different little documentaries about him, he hated Jim Haslett to death. That anytime Jim Haslett make a play call, you know, London's like, oh, nah, man, we ain't running this. And he flipped it, and our defense played amazing. So, I mean, I just want to know, I mean, our keys to victory, let me get to the point. Our keys to victory here is, just like you said, stopping the run, gap integrity, and for God's sakes, slide the defense over.
Yeah.
You know, why are we on the weak side when they're running to the strong side? When you got three tight ends on the right side, why are we overloading the left side? I don't get it. I don't.
Hey, I don't get it either.
Help me out.
I don't get it either, Ty. Appreciate the call. This is why I love when this team is good. 3-1, and we got back-to-back callers trying to give us a full damn scouting report. That's the energy we need here on a Friday night. But no, the run defense continues to be a problem. I've noted it since the preseason when they wanted no parts of tackling Braylon Allen in the preseason opener. It's been the same thing. Guys aren't fitting their gaps. Guys are trying to scream it too far upfield. There's a litany of different reasons why the run defense hasn't been good. This is the week, though, that you get it together. You have to. Because if you give Cleveland confidence offensively and you allow them to stay ahead of the chains and you don't make them one-dimensional, Deshaun Watson had just 7 incompletions last week. yeah, they only score or they only put up the points that they did, but offensively, they feel like a group that's closer than not to, to turning a corner and trying to at least become respectable. Don't be the get-right game. That's my only thing. Last year, was it last year? It was 2 years ago, technically. The Ron Rivera, we could be eliminated game. Deshaun Watson hadn't done diddly squat before that game. And he came out and looked like 2018 Deshaun Watson. If that happened Sunday, as happy as I am now, be equally as frustrated next week. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll continue to take your calls on keys to the game. We have more specific coming up on the other side of the break. I'll give you my key commanders, three guys that must step up, must play big in order for Washington to get to 4-1. That's next here on The Fan.